Hello and welcome home. You're listening to the Tribe Abuja podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through His Son, Jesus.
Hallelujah! Amen! Just bless God 30 seconds. Tell Him how much you love Him. Thank you, Father, for answered prayers. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just tell 5 people, I'm so excited about what God is going to do in your life. Just say, I'm so excited about what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah. Can we just appreciate Tribe United? Michael, Christian, Matthias, Rookie, James, Eva, Lucy, Ifa, Lisa, Noves, Ifai, Eddie, who else? James, Oluchi, everybody. God bless you. God bless you for always leading. Can you tell the other person you ignored that I'm so excited about what God is going to do in your life? Amen. We're just going to go straight into the word. If you're just joining us, we started a series last week called Winning Season. And it was birthed from a series that we just ended called In Christ. And the last episode of In Christ was Victory in Christ, where Paul was telling the Corinthian church and the Colossian church that, but thanks be to Christ Jesus, we have victory. And that Christ leads us in perpetual victory. Hallelujah. So the journey for the believer, the progress for the child of God is from victory to what? Victory. Amen. It's from victory to victory. And the Lord said we should just spend the month of September to what? To learn about what it means to win. And that's what we're learning. And because the identity of the believer is that of an overcomer, is that of a victor, is that of more than a conqueror. Glory! And that is not your nickname. Amen. That is not your nickname. It's your identity because Christ has won it all for you. Hallelujah. So we move from victory to victory. In fact, the NLT says one perpetual victory. One perpetual victory. Hallelujah. And today is day 14 of our September fast. God bless you for joining every 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. We have 7 days to go. Amen. So if you've not joined this season, you have... Sorry. I was not laughing at you. If you've not joined this, you can join this last 7 days. Amen. Yes, space. Hallelujah. You can join this last 7 days because I believe that this is the last leg and we are trusting God for so much that He's going to share with us and going to tell us this season. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray that it speaks to me and through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Open to the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading 1 to 4. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablet, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. Oh, sorry, people are not Anglicans. If I say this is the word of the Lord, you say thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Amen. So, episode 2 of Winning Season is titled Vision for Victory. Vision for Victory. Can you repeat after me? Vision for Victory. And if we are learning about winning and victory, I believe that one of the criteria of winning, of victory, is to see that you have won. Is to see that you have won. I saw some quotes from The Art of War by Sun Tzu, and one of them was, the battle is won before it is ever fought. That the battle is won before it is fought. And it struck me, and I was like, oh my God, this is actually a new, it's actually a philosophy from the Bible. It's almost as if often some worldly wisdom is borrowed. It's not as if, but it's true. You know, what's true is true. So if for us, we, the believer, it's not just a Christian thing. Do you understand? So like, someone like Sun Tzu can harvest that kind of wisdom and apply it to a secular reality. But it really struck me. And I said, this is what we're going to learn. If last week we settled mindset of abundance, how many of us were blessed by that? Abundance, that we don't live by a scarcity mindset, that we don't build our lives by stepping on people, because there is space for everybody. Amen? So you don't have to pull people down for you to rise. You don't have to put out someone's fires or put out someone's light for you to shine brighter. Are you with me? So we settled mindset, and today we're going to be settling vision, because you have to see that you have won. Glory. And we learn from in Christ that we, our lives are hidden in Christ. So one of the things we must always do is that when we go to the text, as we see and behold Jesus, he shows us ourselves in him. The more we look at Christ, the more he shows us, this is who you are, my child. This is who you are, my son. Amen. The deeper we get to know Christ, the deeper we get to know ourselves in him. So you must see yourself as a victor, as an overcomer. So it's not just a nickname. It's not just something Paul put up so that he will excite you. It is your identity. So you must have vision for victory. Now we now see this prophet called Habakkuk. And if you read the entire chapter, chapter 1, he's complaining. He's making two complaints. And he goes before God. And he's saying, God, how is it that we, your children, we are suffering like this? And you know what God tells them? He said, I'm going to raise the Chaldeans and they are going to punish you. But Habakkuk was like, but Lord, they are worse than we are. They are worse than we are. And he's asking the Lord. And this is where we now meet the story, where in chapter 2, he's now saying, I will stand at my watchpost and station myself at the tower and look to see what he will say to me. Now, especially this fasting season, if you've been joining from the beginning, one of the things I said is we must have expectation. Everyone say expectation. Because if you're not fasting without looking to God for him to respond in some way, you're just going on a hunger strike. Please, just go and boil that indomie and eat. The ball in the mina. Why are you guys laughing? Abby? Making me doubt myself. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down this thing. And I want you to leave with three things here. But we're going to break down the entire four verses so that you will just see what the Lord was saying in this text and God's interaction with Habakkuk. Are you ready? So the first one, the first point, if I were to call it a point, it would be watch. So on the watch, let's take the first verse. It says, I will take my stand at my watch post and station myself at the tower. Do you know what Visionary is so important because, honestly, you can't live a full life without vision. You can't live a full life without vision because you need to know where you are going. You need to know if you are in an organization, you need to know where the organization is going. If you're in a church, a community like this, you need to know where the organization is heading to. Are you with me? If you're in a relationship, you should know where you are going to. Hallelujah. So one of the most important questions you should be asking, for instance, if you're in a relationship is, excuse me, what are we? You've been sending jollof to my office for the past 1 month. You've been calling me after and be asking me if I've eaten lunch. What are we? Can you define this? Is there a vision for this? Because I don't have space for nonsense. Amen. And if you notice, I'm not mentioning agenda because it happens to the two both of them. But you must define, listen, you must define your life. You cannot continue moving like a zombie. You can't live your life aimlessly. So that anything or anyone that comes into your life, you just say yes to. A vision helps you streamline. Amen. Athletes, when they go, they don't eat anything. They don't eat anything. They don't go out. And in fact, some before major events sometimes, the coaches will tell the athletes, do not go to the club. Don't party. I've been trying to watch UFC lately. And one of the things I've been learning, in my wife's surprise, I've been just learning about how they keep their body. So often within the weight class, for them to stay within that weight class, they have to do something called, is it shedding it's called? But basically, they are not supposed to take water for about 24 to 48 hours and to stay within that weight class. Do you understand? And it's one of the hardest things to do. The point is, athletes, whatever it is you're doing, you cannot, you have a vision. So a fighter, because he wants to win a match, has to keep his body in what? In shape. If you're going for a particular degree, you cannot be, let's say you're studying medicine, you cannot go and be studying like actuarial science, for instance, just for the fun of it. You have limited time and you want to commit it to your goal. You want to commit to your vision. So a vision keeps you aligned. Amen? So Habakkuk was expectant and he said, I will stand at my watch post. I will station myself at my watchtower. The first point I want us to make is him saying, I will. Nobody can live out your vision, the vision of your life. You cannot live out your vision vicariously through someone else. And that's what many of us are doing. That's what many of our parents are doing. So many of our parents, because they could not be doctors, they could not be lawyers, they want to live out their life's ambition through their children. Many of us live out what we want to become through television. So we live out our lives vicariously and we export our destinies to people who have no business, who do not even know you or care for you. Habakkuk said, me, I will take my stand on my watchpost. I will take my stand at the watchtower. I will take my stand. Even your wife cannot fulfill your destiny. Your parents cannot fulfill your destiny. You must come to that point where you're saying, I want to know what God is saying concerning me. Glory. And moreover, the Bible tells us that we, the children of God, we have access. So you can come boldly with confidence to the throne of grace to ask God, God, concerning this matter, how far? So Habakkuk is saying, I will take my stand. He's not exporting the answers he wants. He's not outsourcing his interaction with God to someone else. He's saying, I will take my stand at my watchpost. And the second thing we must understand is a watchpost. What is a watchpost or a watchtower? is where sentinels, is where soldiers are stationed, right, to guard a place, to see what's going in or what coming out. So in the Bible, often a watchtower is a place where the children of God, or it's a heightened place God wants to interact, probably for, especially in the Old Testament, with a prophet, so that God can speak to them. But whether you call it watchtower, whether you call it, the point is this, God wants to meet with you. Amen? So he wants a place where he meets with you. So whether it's a watchtower, whether it's an altar, whether it's Mount Carmel like Elijah, whether it's a tent of meeting like Moses, are you taking time out to interact with God? So after making that decision from I will, you must have a place. Some people will say it's an altar. Some people will say, you know, it's a tent of meeting. Whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, eh? Amen? Have a time and place where you meet with the Father. Where you have interaction. Where you're not outsourcing answers concerning your destiny and your life to someone else. Hallelujah. Let me rush through this thing. If I'm going to get through all the points. Tribe, are you tracking with me? The next point we see is that he says, I will look out to see what he says to me, because a sentinel, a watchman, that's what they do. They look out. Amen. So an example is, if you remember the movie Titanic, Jack and Rose, they distracted the watchmen. You understand? Can't remember what I'm saying. 1998, selling. Okay, so they distract the watchmen rather than them watching the horizon to see if anything was coming. They were being distracted by the enemy. And see, that woman is the villain of that film. No matter what you tell me, she killed all those people. So they were distracted and they did not see the iceberg in time. Who knows what I'm talking about? You guys are looking at me like, is it, you know what I'm talking about, right? So that's what a watchman is. They watch out. They are looking to see if anything is coming. So Habakkuk is saying, I will look out to see what he will say to me. But in Habakkuk's position, he's expecting God to respond to his complaint. He's expecting God to respond to his lamentations. And you must have that expectation. You cannot come, for instance, in a garden like this and not come with expectancy and not expect that God will speak to you. Amen. But even beyond this morning's gathering, you must always trust that God is with you, that God is in you, and that he constantly speaks. So you must have that expectation. So the first thing, you must make up your mind. You're not going to outsource your life's purpose. You're not going to outsource your life's destiny to any prophet, any apostle, anything. You're going to what? Ask, meet God by yourself, because you have what? Access. Amen. The veil has been torn. You're under new covenant. Glory to God. And we have access because we are the children of God. So I will make my stand. Then what? I will have a place, a watchtower, a tent of meeting, an altar, a mountain, whatever it is you want to call it, that you meet with God and you're having interactions with God. And as you go to that watchtower, as you go to that watchpost, as you go to that mountain of the Lord, you expect that he's going to respond, because God speaks. Amen. God speaks. I said, I will wait to see what he says to me, what he will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me. Hallelujah. Verse 2. He says, write the vision. So the first point is watch. And number 2, because God speaks as we watch, you write down what the Lord says. And the Lord answered me, write the vision. Many of us, we don't document our journey with Christ. I told you one of the curses of man is that we forget. We forget. You forget what God has done. You forget your successes. We forget. So what do we do now? Human beings, we document our stories. But now for the children of God, document what God is telling you. Amen. Often you think the Lord will come in thunder and lightning. No, or a burning bush. No, sir. It's not often that way. God will, the Bible tells us, may speak to you through whisperings or a still small voice or a burden. Amen. Or a witness. He can't, a person in your gathering, in this assembly, can say, hey, I've been praying for you and I believe that the Lord is saying this concerning you. Document it. Document it. I have journals and journals from years ago of things that God has been telling me. And often I go back and I'm like, oh my God, I need to align. Amen. After they crossed the Red Sea, the Bible tells us that God told the children of Israel, they should write down what they've experienced so that their children's children will what? Will know their God, that God has done it for them. So the Jewish people, the Israelites are a very educated, is it race? Would I call them race? Group of people, because they started, you know, documenting early. So in your own life, in your own walk with God, are you marking what God is saying? In a place like this, if you come to a gathering like this, something may hit you, but you're not even documenting what you're saying, because once you leave here, you forget. So if you want an answer, you came to church to look for God, to ask God for what to do, and he tells you, but once you leave here, you don't put it down. You don't write out the vision. This morning, I'm reminding you to document your journey in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that you can even tell testimonies to your children and your children's children, if the Lord keeps you, like Mama Charles. Amen. You guys know what I'm talking about? All right. So, you know, the next thing you see, he says, write the vision, make it plain. Make it what? Plain. If the Lord says, thus says the Lord, you shall do so, so and so. Don't expand. Do you understand? This is not a 15,000 word essay that you want to expand. So rather than say go, you're telling him, lo, behold, lift up thy legs and move. The Lord says what? Go. You're saying lo and behold. Make it what? Plain. In the corporate world, when you're writing vision, some people say, make it simple, stupid. They use the acronym MISS. Make it simple, stupid. You're not stupid in Jesus' name. Well, I'm just saying, make it plain. You want to, you're prophesying, you're adding groanings and you're adding portals and you're saying dragons and fire and whatever. Make it plain. You must not know Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Make it what? Plain. Write a vision now. Make it plain. If the Lord says go, you go. Make it simple. Saint. Thank you. Amen. Make it simple. Make it plain. And the next thing we see is, Spurgeon actually says, make it simple. And he now tells us, make it practical. Why should you make it simple? Says, so he may run who reads it. So, you know, if you enter organizations, many organizations, they put their vision in a place where you can see, you understand, from the entrance, so that you know what they are about. Amen? So, in a way, you should have your vision for your life as well, that God has told you. Like, it is simple, so that whoever comes into your life, they by themselves, they will bounce themselves out of your lives. Amen. Can I get an amen? Because we don't want time wasters. Glory. So make it simple so that he may run who reads it. So that whenever someone sees the vision, when it's simple, when it says go, the person what takes off because of what they have read. Because it's simple to understand. Hallelujah. It's simple to understand. It's simple for you to understand. So make it practical. Make it simple. Make it practical so that he may run who reads it. Hallelujah. You must start this now. And this thing, it has to start today. Hallelujah. So we often ask for a vision of just a portion of our lives. So you may say, Lord, what is my ministry purpose? What is my purpose concerning finance? But you're supposed to ask for the vision of God concerning everything. Because especially if you're single, this is the time to start asking God what you're supposed to do with your life. Because it immediately just starts arranging the list of who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Amen? And whoever you spend the rest of your life with, that person must know your vision, and that person must have a vision for their life as well. Because God has put everybody here on earth for work. God has put us here to serve out and live out His will. Are you with me? Last week, I talked about how man, or is it during prayers? God, they call man homo faber, which is man the creator, man the maker. God made us in His image as co-creators. So He put man in the Garden of Eden and told him to what? Work. He told him to name the animals. And Eve makes this beautiful point about how, Adam, when he was naming the animals, the Bible tells us that as he named them, so it was. So were their names, right? So he was not inventing names. He was pulling out the names God had given them. Are you with me? So every one of us, in a way, God has put you in your own Garden of Eden, and He's asking you to nurture, to pull out of your bellies, to pull out what thing, the dreams, the visions that He has given you. So when Adam saw Eve, she was not a stranger, because God had pulled her out of Adam as well, right? And she was created not just from Adam, but from the purposes of God. So He said, this is what? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Are you with me? So not everybody is for you. A vision will help you streamline your life. A vision will help you, all the external factors we use to choose people to come into our lives, tall, dark, handsome, figure eight when you've not even figured it. Thank you. I thought about that for 1 week. Thank you. Thank you for responding that way. God bless you. Some of my friends are disappointed. I don't care. But, sorry. Listen, here's the point. If you want victory in your life, we cannot come and be shouting here, abundance, victory, abundance, victory. Then you go into the week and you're living aimlessly. You're living like a zombie. You're living like there's no intention to your life. Are you with me, tribe? So write out a list. Go through the list and exhaust it and say, God, concerning this, what am I supposed to do? Because we know He answers. He responds. He speaks to His children. Hebrews 1, in the last days, God used to speak to His prophet. But in these days, He's speaking through His sword, His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if you surrender to Me, if you give Me your heart, My Father and I will come and make your heart our home. We will dwell there. The Holy Spirit dwells in on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And this week, we've been praying for the leading of the Spirit. So the Spirit will lead you, because as many as called the sons of God, as many as led by the Spirit are called the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit speaks. God speaks. You cannot continue thinking that God is God doesn't speak. Is it possible, tribe? Hear me out. Is it possible that you are not attentive enough? Is it possible that when you come before God, you're like, I'm going to pray today. You kneel down on your bed and you just hear that notification. Meanwhile, God was there before you. He was waiting before you came. And He's expectant. That's what Isaiah tells us, that God is waiting. He's waiting graciously to be I mean, he's waiting and expecting to be gracious to us. He's eagerly waiting. Thank you. He's eagerly waiting to be gracious to us. So before you even thought of showing up to God, God was waiting just like, my child, I'm longing to impact my child. I'm longing to show grace to my child. I'm longing to show grace to my son. But you come before him and you are too easily distracted. So you don't even stay long enough for the Lord to speak. Habakkuk said, I will stand on my watchpost. I will stand at my watchtower looking out to see what he will say to me. And when the Lord started to speak, he listened. Our generation, we are far too easily distracted. The next thing, the new thing. We want to copy people's destinies, people's vision of our life. God, meanwhile, God has curated something for you. But you won't know because you are too easily distracted. So it's not that God is quiet. You're too loud. Okay, just calm down. Tell your neighbors, calm down. Calm down. Relax. So there must be that expectancy. There must be that longing that I know God is going to answer me. Tribe, please, if you've not joined this fast, just use these 7 days. Even this if it's your first time at the tribe, I want to encourage you, just join these prayers. One of the best ways to train yourself to pray is to gather with the saints to pray. Amen. And by the by the grace of God, now that we have technology, we can gather virtually. And the Spirit of God moves. Many people have been sharing testimonies with me. A friend was sharing about a promotion. Someone was sharing me about exams that had been passed. And we're trusting, many people have been sharing on the group. God speaks. Hallelujah. God speaks. Watch. Write. And the third one is wait. Wait. It says, for the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, do what? Wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. So I said last week, is it possible you're not in a season of delay, but you're in a season of development? God wants you to build capacity for the vision that you've seen. And let me tell you something. The vision God is giving you is always bigger than you. And it's not just for you. Should I repeat that? The vision is always bigger than you, and it is not just for you. Because God wants to use your life as a witness to the nations. God wants to use, he wants to brag with your life. He wants to take the glory. Do you understand? He wants to say, this is my son, this is my daughter. See what I've done for and through them. So it's seemingly impossible. It's always bigger than you. So some of you may just be hearing the Lord say, you will feed the nations. And you're like, uh-uh. No. But I grew up in Makurdi. No, sorry, Sorry. Not joke. Sorry, Makurdi boy. So, like, God may be giving you something that is bigger than you. You get, it's always, always bigger than you. Amen. It's always bigger than you. Always bigger than you. So he's now saying, even because it's big, God, in that season of the vision becoming true, God wants you to grow into what he's showing you. Are you with me? God wants you to grow into what he's showing you. So if the Lord has given you a vision, you make it plain, even if it takes 20, 40 years, God wants you to be training, submitting yourself and surrendering yourself to pruning, to discipleship, to discipline, to taking to the molding, so that you can become what he has said concerning you. So that you can become what he has shown you. Amen, tribe. So it's for an appointed time. So if it look, if it's looking like it's going to delay, it's not delaying. It's saying wait. And we talked about waiting when we started the fast. We said that in the Bible, when the Bible says wait, he's not saying stand idly by. Are you with me? You know, in restaurants, when you go, at least good ones, there's a waiter that is what? Looking to what? Serve you. So in that waiting season, you should what? Be serving. What does that? That's you are looking to the Lord. You are asking, what should I do in the now? Because he will also give you the strategy. Amen. So you will not just wake up and God is not a Yahoo boy. Do you understand? You will not just blow. God is not in that business. He wants to disciple his children. He wants them to become. Amen. He wants them to become. So in the season of waiting, it's not, God is not delaying. He's developing you, and you should be surrendering and submitting yourselves to God, pruning, discipling you. In our generation, where we keep on moving from relationship to relationship, job to job, God wants you to stay, be planted in him. Because that's the only way you will bear fruit. When I was in boarding school, I can't remember seeing a ripe mango. Who knows what I'm talking about? We go finish green as it's coming out like this. We eat it. There was this rumor, I don't know if it's true, maybe nutritionists would tell us, that you can't eat mango and drink gari. I'm standing here. You understand? Nothing has happened to me. Nothing. But because, like, we did not care about the sweet, we were hungry. So I can't remember seeing any ripe mark in command just. We're here. Amen. So it's for an appointed time. If the Lord has given you something, if he has told you to do something, wait for it. Wait for the fruitful season. In this waiting season, let your roots grow deep. Amen. Let your roots grow deep. Do you know, I have profound respect for anybody above 30 that is going back to school. If I see you, like I caught car for you, one of us just got an MBA recently, and I was very excited for him. If you are above 30 and you're going back to school, especially if you went to a federal school in Nigeria, you hate school, at least most of us, because the system just made us tired of education. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, I celebrate people who say, despite everything, I want to go and acquire more knowledge for my purpose. Amen. So it's the same thing with you. What are you doing in your waiting season? As you've written down the vision, as you've made it plain, you've made it practical, what are you doing in your waiting season? Because God is not delaying you. He wants you to be developed. There's no way we'll give our daughter our car key except she wants to play with it. If we wake up tomorrow and we hear her, we just hear the car starting, and we go and peep, and it's this 1 year, 5 months old girl. I will wake up, or I'll slap myself till I wake up, because as much as we may not have an issue with her driving because she's our daughter, but it's not yet time. Amen. So the vision is for the appointed time. You need to grow up. Tell your neighbor you need to grow up. Tell the other person you ignored you need to grow up. You need to grow up. Grow into the vision God has called you to. Grow into the vision that God has called you to. And the last one is faith. But we're not going to do it today. We're going to do it next week. Because faith, God was telling Habakkuk that the soul of man is puffed up, but the righteous, they shall what? Live by faith. So you need to have faith for victory. Amen. I'm just going to leave us with these three things. Watch. What's the next one? Write. What's the third one? Wait. Wait for the appointed time. And in your season of waiting, what should you do? Grow. Develop yourself in Christ. Amen. Anybody blessed tonight? Why did I say tonight? Can you just
thank
stand?
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you were blessed by the message. To listen to more, consider subscribing, sharing, and rating the podcast. We love you.